Ruben, in the spirit of fasting, I am going on a water-only drink fast for, like, I'm going to try 10 days once. Nothing but water.
Not even coffee? So
you're gonna Not even coffee. You're going to eat normally.
Yeah, eat normally.
But you're only going to drink water.
There's supposedly some pretty good health benefits to it. So
I believe it.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah.
Especially if you normally drink pop.
I maybe drink pop every other day.
Okay.
And coffee once a day.
I was thinking of going on a caffeine-only fast. Ooh. Supposedly, there are some serious health risks.
I'm curious, how would you do a caffeine-only fast? Like, everything that you drink would have to be caffeinated?
A little bit, yeah.
Or what about eating? Is there food? Is there caffeine in food?
No, but you have to... I've heard that some pills, like... pills such as...
such as...
Like, headache relievers. Like Advil.
Yeah. Excedrin has
Excedrin,
caffeine.
Sure. But I've... Either way, I've heard that, yeah, some... pain relievers do have caffeine in them, and so you just crush those up and just like sprinkle those atop your meals. So even if like you're not necessarily like doing it for the caffeine benefits, you're bound to feel good because you're taking in pain relievers every meal.
Yes. No, well, there are
come back with us next week on that.
Okay.
Some headache relievers do have caffeine, or based off of caffeine.
Well, Excedrin, Excedrin has a ton of caffeine.
Okay,
that's like probably a ton. Like
that's the pain reliever that has caffeine.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh. Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives.
Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 185.
And it's Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017.
Today on the podcast, we've got feedback we want to talk about. Thank you for that. Leighton has an other lament, which seems to be very popular with the listeners. Mm. Jeffy brought a box in, a ship box, and it's all closed. He's going to unbox it for us. I'm looking forward to that.
Ooh.
Over the weekend, Leighton and Jeff and a couple other guys celebrated Leighton's last few months of...
Last month.
Of singleness.
Yes.
We had his bachelor party this weekend.
My singlehood is waning.
Waning away.
I have a story that actually just happened a few hours ago. And then
I feel like it's live and cutting edge.
Probably what cutting people are tuning in for the most is that we are giving away one of our t-shirts.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll be announcing that after we do the feedback.
What a deal.
So last week we did have some positive feedback for sure. Deborah Miller over at Main Street Roasters said she listened to it twice.
This was the 2 weeks ago episode.
No, it was last week.
Last week. When we had the really long lament.
You were lamenting about... Well, this is the second one about fast food. Last week was the second one about fast food. Okay. Episode 184, she re-listened to. And it was a little ambiguous. I'm not sure if she re-listened to it because she didn't catch everything the first time.
I was talking really fast that episode.
Or if it was just so good, she couldn't soak up all the goodness with one listen. Kind of like a good book. I've been told that people read twice.
I've been told that people read. Books.
So, feedback. Leighton, you have some feedback as well.
Yeah, I have some feedback. Man, I don't even know what all it was.
Did you have feedback about our raw talk at the beginning of the episode?
I had feedback about that, and then I also had feedback about something else.
What was a combination of feedback?
Well, it doesn't mean a whole lot if you can't remember what it was.
Okay, the first one, which you referred to, like the feedback about... I can't remember what we were talking about.
The raw talk.
Yeah, the raw uncut talk, yeah. It had the effect that I suspected that it would have, and that is one of our listeners, like, started listening to the podcast, and then like quickly looked at his phone and was like, did I somehow skip like ahead? Am I in the middle of the, because there was no intro. And so he just like wasn't sure what was going on. He was very disoriented. He said that 5 minutes into it, he started breaking out in measles and like throwing up, and he was just so disoriented. I told him that we cannot be held liable for any diseases that you may contract listening to this podcast. But then also he was the same one, the same listener that requested an extra long podcast, and then we gave him an extra short podcast for last week, and he was super disappointed because he had to go all the way out to Idaho.
Iowa.
Iowa, sorry. Yeah, I always get those two mixed up.
Idaho.
And he just said that he at least appreciated the fact that we apologized that it was so short. So that's great.
So that was all your feedback. Okay, Jeffy, what about you?
Kim Pollard mentioned that she enjoyed the Chris Farley reference, which you guys totally missed.
I'm still missing
2 weeks
it.
Ago.
I don't understand.
It's totally fine. But did I did get shout? Some. We did get quite a bit of positive feedback from the 2 weeks ago episode where we talked about work stories and such.
What was the Chris Farley reference?
Living in a van down by the river.
Oh, yes.
From SNL.
Yeah.
No, I got
it.
I caught it. I just chose to ignore it. Not because I didn't think it was a good reference, but I'm just surprised that somebody would, like any of our listeners,
I thought you said by accident. Chris Farley.
No, I was.
No, I did think that's what you were referring to, but I don't really, I more or less just know of it. I don't remember actually watching any.
Maybe we should just start referencing movies that like, just kind of like hidden, like throughout the episodes, cues. Just to see if somebody like catches it.
See if somebody catches
it. I'll try it during this episode sometime when you least expect it. Mm-hmm. Just kind of sneak it in.
Okay, well, let's get on to what people are probably most waiting for. The winner of the t-shirt. And the way that I do this, it is random. Mm-hmm. There's a website where you can insert the Facebook URL of the post, and then it will randomly pick someone. It'll give you three options. It'll give you the option for someone who commented, someone who liked and commented, and also, this isn't a random one, but the comment with the most likes.
Ooh,
so you can do it a few different ways. And we decided to do one that, a random comment. And
I don't remember voting on that.
Interestingly enough, it is Kim Troyer. You had said Pollard, but it's one and the same.
I apologize.
Yeah, how dare you call her by her maiden name.
Congratulations.
Her husband, Eric, feels disrespected.
Yeah. Well, I am taking his place here, so.
This is true. This is true. Eric used to run that microphone, and now Jeff is doing a much more faithful job.
Much, much more faithful.
I love how we're just trashing Eric right now.
Anyway, sorry.
So, this is a great tool. It's called Fan Page Karma, and they do a few different things on their website. But if you just Google Facebook Karma, you'll find the part of the website that you need to pick a random winner.
Like instant karma, kind of karma.
No, it's comment karma.
Comment karma.
Comment karma, Batman.
Oh.
It wasn't as subtle as I was expecting.
Actually, I was even planning on that being the reference. I was planning at some point, just randomly on the episode, just be like, I'm Batman. And then see if anybody catches it. It's so subtle.
So subtle.
By the way, we are still doing the pre-order special where if you do place an order for the t-shirt, you will be getting free shipping with that. As long as we're shipping to the U.S.
So wait, you're saying that every order comes with free shipping?
For another week.
Oh, for one more week.
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems pretty legit. If you're planning on getting a shirt, this is the time to capitalize.
And by the way,
definitely don't lowercase.
There was a question if we'll have ladies' t-shirts and men's shirts. And yes, if you choose, hopefully by your name, I'll be able to tell if you're a man or a woman. And then based off that, I'll be shipping you either a female or a male shirt. of that size.
I heard of a person, a child named Marion. Is that a boy's name or a girl's name?
My mind goes to Maid Marion.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
But I know a guy named Marion.
I feel like I know an Amish person called Marion.
I feel like you guys both understand now why I'm confused about the name Marion.
Wait, is it Marion with an N or with an M?
N.
N. Okay.
Merriam-Webster.
Miriam.
Merriam-Webster. No, it's Merriam-Webster.
And I'm not even sure. Is it Maid Marion with an M or with an N?
I thought it was Maid Marion.
Marion.
I thought it was an M.
At the Marian.
End. Wow.
It's Maid Marion with an N.
Hey, Siri. She's so useless.
This might be a bad time to ask you, but are you ready for your lament?
Yeah. But put me down for another one, like, for next week. Okay, so this week's lament, it comes with a story at the beginning, which will then get me into the lament. One morning, on my way to work, I was going through my daily routine. I got into my work clothes. I packed my lunch, which simply consisted of a single Subway sandwich and two buttermilk cookies. And I get into my car, and I'm running not late, so I'm running a hair early. So I usually try to leave the house at 5:30. I think I left the house around 5:27. So I have an extra 3 minutes. Early.
Yep.
And even leaving at 5:30, it gets me to work 10 minutes early. So I should get to work 13 minutes early in this case.
So you're saying it takes you 20 minutes to get to work?
No.
You said you leave at 5:30?
Yeah.
And you get there 10 minutes early?
Yeah.
Isn't that 20 minutes?
No, we start work at 5:50.
Oh, you do?
No.
Then what?
No, I guess, yeah, it's 20 minutes early. But
no, it takes you 20 minutes to get there.
Sure. Well, sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes I have to wait on a train.
Yeah, yeah.
So it depends on the lights. There are two lights that I have to go through.
I'm just surprised because you don't live that far away.
It's true. But I'm just slow in the morning. Anyway, so I get in my car, I'm on my way to work, and I'm just entering, like, the city limits. I just get past the first stoplight that I go through on my way to work, and that would be the stoplight on 52 and 19.
By Northwood there.
Yes. I get through that, and then I come up to a trash man. Like a garbage man.
Who
is just running his route, whatever. But he's going south on 19, okay? And we're like, there's quite a few cars behind me, and there's also quite a few, there's quite a bit of oncoming traffic as well. Now, if you would get out a tape measure and measure the distance between the edge of the garbage man's truck, and the oncoming traffic, you would probably come up with a measurement in which my Ford Flex would be able to fit inside of. That's a really complicated way of saying I probably could have passed. but it was in the morning. Oh,
sorry,
it was dark.
Maybe you said this, but I just want to ask to clarify.
Yeah.
He was driving down the road, or was he off to the side of the road, putzing along?
Off to the side, putzing along, kind of like the mailman.
Okay.
Kind of like the mailman does. But his truck is obviously wider than a mailman's, like a regular mailman's truck. So I decided it's dark. I'll just wait for the oncoming traffic to go through before I pass him. In the meantime, like, as the dude putzes along from stop to stop, I putz behind him. And there's a truck right behind me that is right on my tail. Like, it was beyond just putzing behind me. He was glued to my hind end. Like, he was just right up there. And so I could definitely feel his pressure upon me, like, to pass. And I decided, you know, no, I'll wait for the oncoming traffic to finish. And we only waited, like, maybe, like, I was only behind him a total of 3 minutes, okay? And also while putzing. So there was a little bit of progress being made.
How much progress was made in those 3 minutes?
Perhaps.
How many houses?
Four? Okay. I don't know.
But okay, so you said it started at the light by Northwood.
Not completely. I was down there a little bit. I was beyond that.
Was it before you got into before you got to the funeral home?
It was like that was where like I actually stopped, like to the point where he was doing his trashing, and I was doing my putzing. that's exactly where like we came into confrontation. Okay. So, but yeah, there is no shoulder. There's no shoulder on that, like, at that point on 19 for him to get off of the side of the road and to make extra room for cars to pass around him. Anyways, I wasn't behind him that long. I finally get around him after oncoming traffic is through. My car is in the same condition but that it was behind him as it was when I got past him. And I was sure for that to make. I made sure that that would happen by letting the oncoming traffic go first.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't hit anyone. There was no side swiping. Everyone was okay.
There's no paint swapping.
I didn't swap paint. Like
no
I did.
Swapping of paints.
On this weekend, like this past weekend. Anyway, so this truck continues to be glued to my hind end.
And now you're going normal speed.
And now I'm going normal speed. Yes. And we get to the light of 6 and 19, the main square there. And I am going straight. The truck that was glued behind me is actually turning left. So he gets into the lane
right
next
beside
to me.
You.
Yeah. I approach the light and I stop at the white line. And he is doing what I imagine this is like the reason that men like beyond just work like or enjoy driving trucks, and that is to be able to peer down at people, to be able to look down upon the commoners, to
who
send them a message
trucks.
That I am better than you and I know more than you, and that's the pose that he was doing. He had his center console down, like the thing that flips down over the front seat.
Was he sitting on top of that to get it more
He
height?
Wasn't sitting on top of it, but he was leaning. He was leaning over that center console and, like, had his elbow down and was peering down at me as he, like, passed, like, halfway past me in his left lane to turn left. Okay? And, so, and like, I could feel him peering as he went beyond me. And I was just like, yeah, deal with it, bro. Just deal with it. Yeah, you lost like 2 minutes. Deal with it. You should have left work. You should have left for work earlier, okay? Can't blame me for having schedule problems. And then it was so glorious. He's in the left lane. He's turning left. And he did not. I stopped by my white line. He did not stop. By his white line. He went well beyond it. Well beyond it.
Because his white line is further back.
It is. It is further back. And what do you know? A semi is turning left in front of him. And that semi has a trailer. And semi turns left. And I watch as this trailer, like as he's making that left-hand turn, gets closer and closer to that dude's truck. And I was just like, come on, you could do it. You could do it. You could. Oh, it was so incredibly close. But finally, the man in the truck had to yield consent. he had to consent to defeat, okay? And he had to back up to make room for this trailer. And so he slowly backs up, and I noticed that the guy who was driving, the trucker, the driver of the truck was kind of slumped down, and he was no longer in his peering down stance. He was sort of slumped, head hanging, maybe a tear, I don't know, something. But he then proceeded to back up to his white line. And I thought, who knows how to handle traffic now? And so my lament out of that is I just don't like it when people like frown upon safe driving. It's like, dude, you could have burned out and done a couple kitties in the time that car would have gone past. You could have totally pulled out in front of him and been able to make it across those train tracks without the train actually like hitting you that hard or whatever. I don't know. Because I am a safe driver. I call myself a safe driver. I have the only accident that I've really had, like with another vehicle, is my first night driving. Other than that, I have been so safe on the road.
What happened that first night?
I backed into a car. So, no, it wasn't even moving.
Well, those are easier to hit.
They are. They jump out at you. Jump right out at you. It's so bad. Anyway, I feel like that was a really long lament.
You started this off by saying, oh, I've got really short lament. It's not going to take much time. I think the shorter you expect it to take, the harder you try to make it as long as you can.
And then it works.
I do agree with you. There's no reason to be in a rush and drive unsafely. I do have to ask you, though, do you text while you drive?
Sometimes, yes, but it's rare that I get text messages. Nobody communicates ever with me.
Or just while you're driving.
It's actually, I don't really pay attention that much attention to text messages in general.
Yeah, I can verify that.
that I don't really respond to text messages. It's like, do you text to drive? Well,
I barely text,
so probably not.
Okay. So next, let's talk about Jeff.
Yeah.
What's with that box that you brought in?
Yeah, so for quite some time, I have been having back issues, and part of it may be due to my job.
I noticed that you have really bad posture when you're working at your computer.
Well, that's partly because of my chair.
Okay.
I'm sitting on a bar stool, and it's not ideal for working long hours at a computer. But besides that, I have determined that my pillow has been the source of quite a bit of my back conundrums.
Back conundrums.
And so I have tried over the years different kinds of pillows. I even went and bought a memory foam pillow, one of those ones that are like supposedly really good that are really insane. And it's like, it's too tall for my head. I'm a side
sleeper. It's too thick.
It's too thick. And like, I end up like feeling like my neck is craned while I'm laying on my side sleeping. And opt for a shorter pillow, and then my neck is the other way, and overall it just results in,
I don't think short is the right word, I think thickness is what you're looking for.
Thinness. Yeah, it's too thin or whatever. Yeah, so this has like been bothering me for a long time. Oh. And I heard of this magic pillow that's coming out in spring of 2017. Ooh,
aren't we in spring 2017?
I feel like we're in summer almost.
Almost. And I didn't get a chance to sign up for the pre-order.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This sounds like another Kickstarter.
It was actually on Kickstarter.
And if you're a new listener to the podcast, Jeff loves Kickstarter.
I do love Kickstarter.
He browses and crowds through that website looking for things to fund.
Yes.
So,
do you look at Kickstarter as a place to shop or a place to invest?
definitely a place to shop, because investments into Kickstarter don't end up very well usually.
And you don't.
How can you invest in Kickstarter?
I do feel like I'm benefiting. Some of these Kickstarters benefit people.
Oh, for sure. There's some people that have a Kickstarter for like maybe their music album.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't promise to like give anything to their supporters.
Right.
Like they don't promise an album in return. It's just like, hey, but it could be that the people that are viewing this Kickstarter and trying to decide whether or not they want to fund it, they might be like, oh, well, I do like this artist. I kind of recognize the name maybe. So yeah. I'll fund them.
Right, right.
And so some people don't expect a return.
Right.
Whatever. So sometimes it's just a matter of supporting someone.
I think it's a great place to fund new inventions. There's tons of new inventions show up on Kickstarter, and it's also a good trial ground for people who are the inventors to see if people actually are interested in their idea. This one here, I don't know for sure the reason that they did a Kickstarter, because this company had already been established, but this is a purple pillow. It is actually a purple brand, and I've seen advertisements around on the internet. I don't know if you guys have or not.
Purple pillow.
Maybe just because I searched for it at one point.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's supposedly like this pretty insane. They make mattresses and beds and stuff like that, but then they came out with this pillow.
Okay, now,
it's
Jeff,
the same design as their mattress.
For a pillow, it's pretty heavy for a pillow.
It is pretty heavy.
Is it? Did you have a set here? Is there two or four pillows?
This is one pillow. And wow. And it's based on the same design as their mattress. And their mattress is designed in such a way, it's like kind of like a honeycomb pattern. Not quite honeycomb, but it's that type of a pattern of some sort of synthetic rubber that, when there's a lot of pressure applied in a certain spot, it gives way. But when there's that same amount of pressure is applied over a larger area, it absorbs that pressure and holds it firm. So their demo on their website is they put eggs on this mattress and they set a thick sheet of glass on top. And it just presses the eggs down in without cracking them.
Wow.
So
well,
it's
are you gonna open it
pretty
up?
Impressive. So we can, yeah, we so can I'm gonna try. It. I'm gonna open this up, and it's not much, but I thought it would be interesting to do here on the podcast.
Would those eggs crack on a normal mattress?
Yes, they actually have videos of them cracking on a normal mattress.
Right. I just wondered.
So this box is pretty well packaged. It came. The shipping time. I don't know. I think I waited 10 days for it. So not all that.
Do you need a knife?
Rapid.
And just I'll try to add some visual elements.
Yeah, please do.
Even it's so, the cardboard. Box is cardboard and cardboard colored.
Yes.
But the tape is purple.
It's purple,
and it says purple
it
on
says
the
purple
tape
on it. Here I have a packing slip.
Oh,
it has
wow.
my address on it.
Even. Now,
what are the odds,
Jeff? I'm sure people are wondering what price range are we talking about.
So this pillow, I think its Kickstarter price was less, but current selling price, you can buy these on their website now, is $100.
So one pillow.
Yeah, it's. I have high hopes for this pillow to actually help me in my sleep.
Now, will it last you? Is there a lifetime warranty or a 2-3 year warranty?
Think, you know, I'm not even sure of that.
Is it spill resistant?
I know it does have a warranty, but it's like more of a limited warranty since it's a product that.
Wow.
Can be worn out with use.
The bag is very cool, and we'll have some of these photos on our Instagram.
Yeah, so it comes in this nice clear plastic, purple clear plastic carrying case.
Wow.
It appears to be rolled up on the inside.
It looks like it's going to be a pretty big size pillow.
Yeah. There's an instruction paper in here.
And Jeff, you said that the technology is similar to their mattress, but why is it so heavy? What is it made of?
I think it's because it's made of this almost like a silicone type stuff.
Wouldn't that kind of grab your face?
Oh no! Here it says hyper-elastic polymer.
I'm sure it's covered by like cotton.
You would put a pillowcase on it.
Okay.
It's heavy because it's made from the highest quality materials. This is straight out of the book, guys.
So you know it's real.
How it works, step one, lay down. Step two, sleep.
Well, why don't you get
just
it out
easy.
So we can see what it... And I want to touch it, too.
So,
yeah,
yeah
I kind of want to feel this synthetic
this
rubber.
Up. So the, one of the main things that drew me to this pillow was that you can supposedly adjust the height. Ooh, here's some little testing.
They have the little honeycomb samples on the inside.
I don't know what those are for.
Oh, I could just fall asleep on this.
It's like a stress reliever.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so I'm opening this now, and I feel like it would be pretty difficult to put this back into the carrying case now that I have it out. But here it is, and it is quite interesting.
Now, Jeff, I just felt it. I don't think it's thick enough for me. I like a thicker pillow.
Right, right. And there is some form of adjustment built into this.
It
here we go.
It takes quite a bit of effort to squeeze.
There is actually an air booster. Yeah, it's like you could stab your finger into it, but if you press your hand on it, there's like some resistance. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just feeling things.
I feel like you're just feeling things.
So yeah,
are you feeling what I'm feeling?
This pillow out of the package is pretty flat, but there is an air adjustment bag on the inside.
So you can make it thicker.
Yeah.
Well, thank goodness.
So, yeah.
I guess
we'll try it out and I'll give a product review next week.
I feel all this is... It's just somebody started using Dr. Scholl's, and then they were like, what if I would use this for my head and not just for my feet? Because this synthetic rubber feels like Dr. Scholl's. Like
it does
the insoles.
Kind of. Yeah, yeah. It's pretty much the same type of stuff in a honeycomb pattern. Here's the air booster. It came separately.
Oh.
So I guess you just blow this thing up. Interesting. Well,
I'm not totally satisfied with the pillow I have at home right now, so if you like it, I might give it a try.
I'm also not totally satisfied with that pillow that Jeff has.
Yeah, it
but yeah.
It's definitely going to be one of these things where it might have just been a bad idea.
But I do hope you the best.
I heard of one other.
We do need you to be more productive at work. So if this helps with your performance, then I think it was a great investment.
Kim Troyer, she told me about a weird pillow that she has, and her pillow is filled with water.
Ooh, a water pillow?
Yeah, not a water bed, a water pillow. She said it took her a little bit to get used to because as she's laying there, you can kind of hear it a little bit swishing back and
jostling
forth.
Jostling around in there.
Yeah. Jostling pillows.
So, well, yeah, let us know how it
jostling
goes.
Jostling pillows, Batman.
How it goes this next week. And let's talk about the weekend.
Yes, let's.
Layton's bachelor party.
Yep.
So we started out Friday night. There was six of us all together.
Yeah.
And we went out for supper.
Yep. We ate at Tony's?
Friday night.
Michael's.
We ate at Michael's. It's
Michael's,
You weren't too happy with it. You had some weird tasting pasta.
No, I mean, I thought the restaurant was nice. Their bread was really good.
It was
and
a pretty
And of the stuff
restaurant.
That I ate, like, from you guys, like, out of your plates, it was good. My plate was just filled with some like really, really greasy. It was called the Nikki special.
Yeah. It was like bow tie pasta.
It was bow tie pasta, but it had like a ton of seasoning and
it was green.
It was very like greasy and oily.
Yeah. I tasted some of it. It was a very intriguing flavor. Like it, definitely a cultural vibe to it,
yeah.
But not my culture.
No, I'll tell you exactly what it tasted like. It tasted like somebody just took the pasta bow ties and saturated them in the oil that you would normally use to dip bread in.
Olive oil.
Those really expensive restaurants.
Yes.
And they just thought it would be a good idea to marinate bow tie pasta in that stuff, and it wasn't a good idea. Just saying.
Yeah.
So we started out the weekend a little bit rough.
Mm-hmm. You did.
I did.
You did.
You guys are having a great time.
I got a steak there, and it was pretty good, but it's not a place to go and buy steak. So
I could have told you that.
It was an Italian place.
The Italians don't know steak.
If you're interested in it, it was called Michael's, and it's in Elkhart. I think it was on 6th Street. Or 5th, maybe.
Corner of 6th and whatever that other street was.
And then Saturday, we had a busy day. We kind of got together late on Friday. And then Saturday, we went go-karting and then paintballing. And go-karting, if you live in the area, you need to do this. It's called Michiana Raceway, and it's north of North Liberty. But it is a blast. These go-karts go at least 45 miles per hour. And there was six of us, and we were racing with a group of, I don't know, there was probably about 15 total.
At least.
15, 20 total.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a lot. And these go-karts have enough power. I mean, when you're going around corners, you spin out. You totally lose control.
You definitely drift.
Yeah.
You're drifting more often around corners than not.
Right.
So it's not a question of whether or not you drift. It's just how well you can drift.
Yeah. And it's very easy to overdo it and just totally lose control and go flying into the grass.
Yeah.
Spin out.
Which I think all of us did, except maybe, I don't know if Kyle or Johnny did.
I definitely flew into the grass at one point.
I think I pushed you into the grass at one point.
You didn't push me, but you were in the way. You had spun out.
Yeah, that's right.
And then I had to dodge you. I could have absolutely creamed you. I could have ended up with bruises on both of us. And I decided those bruises were not worth it. I will simply take the grass. And because I did that, it set me back a whole lap at least.
These go-karts, when I got into them, I was like, where is the seatbelt? I'm going to fly out of this thing. But once you sit down into that seat, it just cradles you so tightly that even if you would, I think if you would roll it, you would still be stuck into the seat. But that's how I felt.
Did it create, were the seats so finely crafted to your buttock that it created a slight vacuum, kind of Tupperware does, like a Tupperware lid? When you
just a little, yeah, like...
You like, and then when you're getting up out of the seat, you hear a
yeah.
Is that a no?
Not quite. It felt almost like that, but not quite.
Yeah, and then at the end of each race, they always say and these go-karts were brought to you by Tupperware.
No, they do. They do. The go-karts do have trackers on them that track your lap times, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was impressed that a go-karting place like this would have such advanced technology.
Yeah, it was pretty. It seemed pretty legit.
It
was pretty
awesome. And it really isn't that pricey. I think it was it $50 for we had three races.
Yeah. Relative to other go-karting, it was pretty reasonable, especially for what it was.
Yeah, this is not going up
this
to Mishawaka.
This is not dinky go-karting.
Yeah, this is real.
This is fast, ever so slightly dangerous. I have a bruise. I have a bruise from it.
I don't have a bruise from that.
But I was. How'd you get a bruise?
Ran into Jeff.
I thought you said you'd avoided
injury. See, I learned my lesson the first time, so the second time when he spun out... I decided I'm going to take the grass. It's not worth running into him again.
But that night, if you do go and you haven't done much go-karting or upper body building, I would not recommend going more than three rounds, maybe just two, because although it might be fun and you may want to go another round, by that night, my upper body was so sore. It was just screaming in pain just because of... of gripping and turning the wheel so hard for that half an hour.
It's true. It's pretty rough gripping the wheel.
We were really fortunate because the forecast was kind of rainy all day, and it was definitely overcast. But while we were there, it didn't rain.
Not a drop.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
However, when we moved on to our next event, So in the afternoon we were going paintballing, which I have gone just with a few friends before, never with an organized group before. Mm-hmm. And this was organized. I mean, there was at least 20 people.
At least,
maybe even closer to 30.
It was a lot.
There was a lot of people.
And it was, by the time when we got there, it was rainy. And if you're interested in going, I do forget what it was called.
Action Park.
Yeah. And it's between Mishawaka and Elkhart.
Yeah, Osceola area, kind of. It's right out in the country. It was very enjoyable. I would definitely do that again sometime.
Because it was raining, they have a barn where they have tires, stacks of tires set up, and mm-hmm. different
obstacles
to kind hide of behind. Go around. And basically, each team starts out at the one end, and then
each team starts out at opposite ends,
different ends. And then once the one team is eliminated, then the other team wins. And right. if you get hit one time, then you're out for that round. And rounds right. go relatively quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Layton had a stellar game.
Stellar.
It was really cool because we could watch. They have netting set up in the main part, and then the outside, there's outside room, all the long end of the barn.
Mm-hmm.
But you can go in outside that room where kind of where the action is happening, but mm-hmm. that's also guarded by a heavy net.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be standing along there and watch exactly what's happening. So we were standing right where Layton was at, just a few feet away from Layton, and we could see the guy on the other team
what he was doing.
What he was doing and what Layton was doing, but Layton couldn't see what the other guy was doing.
Right.
So we got to see it, and Layton had the final tag.
Yeah.
It was impressive, Layton.
It was a rush.
Was it?
It was. Did I get him right in the face mask?
I don't remember.
I feel like I did. And even if I didn't, I feel like I want to tell people that I did.
The rain lightened up, and then we went outside and played a few matches outside.
Mm-hmm.
And it was muddy and awful. I did not enjoy that part of it.
I think if it was dry, it would have been a lot more fun outside.
Yeah. Way more fun.
Because at one point, the ground I was standing on gave way, and it just felt like...
There's a mudslide.
Yeah.
In the middle of a paintball match. Right.
I was standing in a solid 3 inches of water.
It was so bad, I ended up throwing away my shoes and my pants that I was wearing.
I still have the shoes and pants.
They weren't salvaged.
I also threw away my shoes, but they were already ruined.
I mean, the shoes were bad. They were ready to be thrown away anyway.
Oh, yeah, okay. So were mine.
I still, yeah.
And for those of you who have heard of this and would think it'd be fun, but think it might be too painful, you know, you only get... If you get out, you get hit once, maybe twice per round, unless you do something dumb and somebody just lights you up in the back. But the pain is worth it.
There's friendly fire.
Or if there's friendly fire.
Let's talk about your most painful hit.
Okay.
Mine happened after I was tagged out. And when you're out, you have to raise your hands in the air so people can see, hey, I'm out, so they don't keep on shooting at you.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was turning and walking away to exit the building, I must have been right between one of my players and someone from the other team because I got nailed in the arm.
Oh.
And that was the most painful. That's what hurt the most. It was an accidental shot, a shot that never should have happened. Yeah. Other than that, I never got hurt.
Aw.
I got hit in the collarbone. And that one hurt quite a bit right away, but the pain subsided pretty quickly. But I do still have a bruise there. It's very mild, but if I rub on it, I can still feel it's like kind of tender.
Mm.
However, none of the other shots that I sustained have any effect on me at this point.
Okay. I was hit once. And, well, I shouldn't say that. In all the games that we played, I was shot twice. Once in the face mask, which I barely felt, really. I mean, it was more like, oh, it's there. Rather than actually like, ow, I felt that.
Right.
But the one time that I did get actually hit on my skin was I was poking my gun up over an obstacle, a pile of tires, and somebody nailed my left three fingers, my middle, my index, and my ring finger. Nailed all three of those
right on the furthest out knuckle, you mean?
Yes, actually, and it hurt so bad, like that killed so bad, and there was a little bit of blood. There were little nicks. Oh, wow. I would guess those nicks are from the shards of the paint shell cutting into my flesh.
Yeah, so I thought that the paint would just be like, okay, it's like a glob of paint, you know, like that you would put on a wall, and it hits you and it's just like everywhere. But it actually was more like watery chalk mm-hmm. than anything else. Like it was wet, but it dried fairly quickly, and it just kind of brushed off.
And yeah, the reason that I threw away my shoes and my pants wasn't because of any of the paint. It was because of the mud.
Oh.
In case that was...
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, we did have one of our members did suffer a more severe hit.
Yeah.
And that was my brother Theodore.
Yeah, he has looked very brutal.
And one thing you need to know about, if you go paintballing, friendly fire counts. So if you hit one of your teammates, they're out for that round. Theodore was out moving from obstacle to obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how it happened, because the person from our team who was behind him was shooting over him, was standing and shooting, and Theodore was crouching down.
Okay.
However, somehow, either as he was lifting his paintball gun, somehow everything lined up perfectly for Theodore to get nailed in the leg. And it was while he was low, so it must have been as he was bringing the gun up, accidentally hit the trigger. Accidents happen.
They do, and Theodore received that accident.
And it did result in a welt. Or welt, I mean, there was a clear bruise there.
A clear bruise. There was some blood. It broke skin.
Now, Layton, one thing that we didn't mention is that you weren't wearing what the rest of us were wearing.
It's true.
We were all wearing long pants.
Yeah, like normal people.
And it was kind of chilly, yet here you are in bright orange trunks.
Bright orange trunks, yes.
Why would you do that? Exposing your legs, and trunk material is thin anyway, so if you get shot even in the upper leg, it's still going to hurt and leave a mark.
Oh, you'll definitely feel it. Definitely. It just so happens that before we went paintballing, we took a trip to Walmart. Because some of the guys wanted some extra layers to put on. And somehow I got shanghaied into doing the opposite. Instead of acquiring more layers, I lost layers, Ruben. And why would I do that?
Why would you do that?
Money.
Money?
Money. I was bet $60 that I would not wear some bright orange trunks that we found at Walmart for $5, that I would not wear those trunks the entire time at Action Park. And you know what? I did. I wore them proudly.
I was one of the people that paid you.
You actually haven't paid me yet.
Well.
But you were one of those people
agreed to pay you.
Right.
This was before we realized that we...
My tenacity.
No.
No.
Before we realized that it wouldn't just be the six of us where we would definitely be able to shoot at your legs.
Right.
We didn't know there'd be a big group and we would randomly be split up, which was the case. And I don't think I never shot at you. I never had the opportunity.
It's true.
And I have to shoot you.
Well, we did have friendly fire as an option.
Well, yeah, but I have too much honor to succumb to friendly fire.
Good for you. And it just goes to show, friendly fire counts, and it does matter. A lot more than your vote.
All right. I think that's it for the weekend.
Oh, yeah. Good times, though. That was a good weekend. I had fun.
Just a few hours ago, I learned a valuable lesson.
What lesson did you learn valuable?
Let me tell the story, and then I'll tell you. We have small groups with our church, and so we were at our neighbor's house helping do some random things, doing some caulk, cleaning some windows, mowing the yard. And I was helping wash windows on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a couple ladders there. And a couple of the windows, even though they were on the first level of the house, you still needed an 8-foot stepladder to get to and to clean.
Okay.
Then on the second story, it was high up. The second story was high. It felt, and I ended up doing clean those, and it felt like it was 50 feet. It was probably more like 20 feet.
Okay.
But either way,
it was pretty high up there.
It was really high up. And Sarah, who's also in our small group, actually, she was on the podcast before.
Mm-hmm. She was the hero of Elkhart.
That's right. Not the hero.
There's
not the hero that they need.
Nightingale.
Florence.
The Florence Nightingale of Elkhart.
Mary, the person's house we were at, she cleaned the inside, but she couldn't clean the outside. And then I asked her, well, don't they flip inside those windows? And she said that, no, they don't. She checked and asked, and they don't. So I thought, well, whatever. I almost think they're new windows, some of them. I'm pretty sure they do. But either way, I climbed up the ladder and cleaned them and reached out and put my life on the line, as it were.
Bless your heart, Ruben.
And did a pretty good job. I'm not saying it was excellent, but pretty good.
So, like, you got 85% of the dirt.
Maybe even like 75.
Okay.
Not everyone had showed up yet to clean as we were finishing up the windows on either side of the house. There was there was four large windows, two on each side, that were 20, 25 feet in the air.
Wow.
And as we were wrapping up and going walking around the house to put the ladder away, someone walked up who actually installed the windows and said, well, you know those flip in, don't you? And can be cleaned from the inside. And so the lesson is, trust but verify.
Trust but verify.
Trust but verify.
Yeah. So even though you trust what someone's saying, you should still just verify it.
I feel like that's a valuable lesson that could be learned at PWI.
Yeah. Maybe just verify.
There's listen, no room for trust.
Listen and verify.
Always verify trust when needed.
Yeah. Speaking of PWI, we almost had a Willie the Welder story.
Is that you? You almost had a Willie the Welder story.
Almost. It was a half Willie story.
It was fairly Willie.
It was pretty Willie. So
we could call it, when it's like half of a Willie story, we could call it Nilly Willie.
Nilly Willie. So this guy today, so we have these dumpsters for trash. They're like trash bins. But they're put on this device that you can pick up with a forklift. It's just like a frame that you can pick up with a forklift. And then these dumpsters have the ability to tip forward on that frame.
Right.
So it's kind of like imagine a shovel on an excavator. Similar design to that. It's like kind of shaped like an excavator shovel or a skid loader shovel.
Yeah.
And then it can just tilt forward when you flip a lever in the back.
Or let's put it this way. Imagine a pallet.
Yes.
Okay. And then on top of that pallet is mounted a thing that can tip forward. You just unhinge it.
Yeah.
Is that what Jeff just said?
Yes.
So, in order to tip them, once they're full, you drive them with a forklift out to the actual big trash dumpster, which is like a whole semi-trailer, and you release the lever that tips it forward, but you have to give it a little bit of help. And so in order to gain the full momentum to tip it all the way, you need to tilt your forks forward. Yeah, like lean the forklift forks forward.
That way there's potential energy.
Yeah. I think you could just, couldn't you just be driving and then release the lever and then just stop?
Yeah, you could do that.
Suddenly.
But the thing is, though, the lever is way up behind the dumpster. Yeah. Like, it's not in relation to the, it's not that intertwined with the forklift.
There's not as
the
much
forklift is only
synergy.
Doing lifting. Yeah, synergy is the word I was looking for.
Usually when you flip the lever, it kind of partially tips forward but doesn't tip forward quite all the way. And it's designed to do that on purpose. So anyways, and with the tipping forward of the forks, there's always the danger that these things can kind of slide off because they're made of metal. It's metal on metal. It's pretty heavy. There's a lot of trash in there. And so they have a chain on them, specifically designed so that you can, when the thing is not being tipped, you can hook it onto the tipping the mechanism frame. As an extra safety so that it doesn't just dump on the floor randomly when somebody bumps into it. And then, also, you take this same chain when you are ready to tip it, and you chain it to the forklift so that if
it doesn't slide
this
off.
Thing would slide, it would be caught by the chain. Well, people do not always think things through.
No.
And there was a guy who was dumping one of these things and thought, huh, well, I've done this before and it worked, so I can probably do it again. And he didn't hook up the chain to his forklift. And so he's tipping the forklift forward to get this thing to dump. And you can either like gain inertia of tipping back and forth either by driving the forklift back and forth really quickly, or you can just tilt further forward. And so he decided to tilt further forward. And this thing starts sliding and sliding and sliding. And it slid into the trash dumpster. The entire steel trash bin slid into the actual big dumpster. And so he's sitting there with his the tips of his forklift forks in this thing still.
Okay.
But if he like if he just tilts the forks back, it'll keep on sliding off.
Yeah.
And so he was out there working with this thing for, I would say, I don't know.
At least 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, 10 to 15 minutes trying to get this thing worked.
And are you guys all watching him? And
we were watching him. Yeah, pretty much. We just were watching standing him on the side. It was such a magnificent view.
We were so tempted to just go out there and stand around laughing.
And point at him.
Yeah, but we didn't because we're gracious.
Right.
But we did cheer.
Instead, you just decided to talk about it on the podcast.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But we did cheer when he got it back on.
It's true.
And he did it by slowly tipping back and driving forwards and eventually scooping it back up. Yeah.
Jeff, there's a few points that you missed.
Oh, go ahead.
The first one I feel like I want to say is you only saw him after he was using the case forklift, which is a very big forklift.
Yeah.
And is able to tilt forward
pretty far
forward. The original forklift that he was using was a Toyota forklift, which would be like our mid-sized forklifts and can't tilt forward near as much.
Yeah.
And originally, so he was using a Toyota forklift, and no, it wasn't just on the tip of his forks. No, the entire dumpster was in the dumpster. Like,
I did not see this part.
Yeah, it was like,
I missed so much.
It fell in. It was completely engulfed. You could just see the wheels of the dumpster that we use.
What would have happened if he just would have left it there and acted like it just disappeared?
His boss would have turned his hind end into hamburger.
So enough people saw what happened.
Well, and these dumpsters are not cheap. I would say they're at least $1,000 each.
Well, they're given to us by the waste treatment company that we also get the bigger dumpsters from. Like, they give it to us for convenience.
Right. But I think we do pay at least a lease fee for them.
Yeah.
They're not cheap.
And while we were watching this, while we were watching Nilly Willy trying to get this dumpster out, which, by the way, I figured out would be called Dumpsterception.
Because
there was a dumpster within a dumpster.
There is our movie reference.
One of my other coworkers was walking by and like sees Nilly Willy out there trying to get the dumpster out of the dumpster and says, "He dumped that thing in there again?" That's like the fourth or fifth time I've seen him do that.
Okay, hold on, Layton. I remember you telling me a similar story to this, didn't you?
Did I?
I asked you first.
I don't know.
I thought someone else almost did that where it almost dumped in.
This was the scenario
that was a Willie the welder
where Willie actually dumped it off, but it missed the trash dumpster and fell onto a trailer instead.
That's right.
Like, he dumped the load out of the dumpster.
But not in the dumpster.
And this was
but missed the dumpster. And then once the weight was off of that dumpster that he was actually holding, then it flung up into the air.
No, this one, it was fully loaded and it was much bigger than the one that just got dumped in today. It was twice the size. It weighed at least, I would say, 2,500 pounds with all the weight in it.
Fantastic.
Because it was full of ashes. Yeah, a car weight almost, and it just...
Ashes to ashes.
Right on a trailer.
Dumpster to dumpster.
There was damage sustained on that one.
And then the other detail that you that I feel should be noted is that that dumpster that he was using actually does not have a chain.
Oh.
And he did look for one.
So, but no, but we have loose chains in the shop.
I agree.
It would that just we could just hook it right on.
Weld the chain to the frame. Done deal.
This very scenario happened to me almost one time with the giant trash dumpster. Like the big one that Willie dropped on the trailer.
Uh-huh.
And I almost lost it, but managed to recover it.
Only an expert forklift driver can master dumpsters.
Layton, what's the latest on your house?
Latest on my house? Tonight, Carrie and I just finished the bedroom. We have repainted the bedroom. And with that, we have a freshly painted living room, a freshly painted dining room, a freshly painted kitchen, and a freshly painted bedroom.
Are there any rooms that aren't painted? Bathroom?
Bathroom is painted, but we're not going to repaint it as of now.
Oh, okay.
Eventually,
it has already been painted. So is the house renovations, are they complete? Or
no.
Have you yet to do things?
No, there's still the landing area, which is the biggest project because it involves tearing off wallpaper, putting a primer onto plaster, perhaps skim coating that plaster, and then actually painting the plaster.
Seems
and then
laborious.
Trying to rewire some of the stuff that was just stuck to the wall.
And then,
seems rather laborious.
Mm.
Jeffy, you had wanted to mention something about supper tonight.
Oh, yes. I, the master chef, have struck again.
I, the master chef.
No. I decided to... I have this thing called a sous vide, which basically is a... It's a method of cooking, and this is a device that heats water to a specific temperature and kind of circles it around, and then you put food... in airtight bags in here. It can be a Ziploc bag or vacuum sealed or whatever. And this food, meat, usually sits in this water for X amount of time and reaches that desired temperature and then it's done. Really great because you can never overcook food because you set it to, say you want a steak medium rare, you set it to 130 degrees and it will never overcook. You could put it in there for 20 hours and it would never overcook. It's really cool. So my latest adventure, I decided that I really like carnitas. Carnitas is like Mexican pulled pork. And it's very juicy, very tender. And I decided I was going to try this. And so I went to John's Butcher Shop and got a pork butt, which is actually a pork shoulder. But
okay.
They call it a pork butt.
Because it all tastes like shoulder.
Yes. And I had enough points on my John's card that I actually didn't even have to pay for it.
Excellent.
But it was £10.
Dude, you've got cards for everything.
Yeah, I do.
Hunters.
Yeah.
John's Butcher Shop.
Mm-hmm.
Main Street.
Ace Hardware.
I do
Starbucks.
Have an Ace card. Yeah.
CVS.
And so I cooked this.
Library.
The library. I do not have a library card. Nobody uses the library anymore.
PWI. I see people walk in there all the time.
Yeah.
You get your 10th beam free from PWI rewards.
PWI rewards. That's great. So anyways, carnitas is like, you want it to be very soft and juicy, full of juice.
Mm.
And so the method of cooking this is you put it in this water bath for 24 hours.
Wow.
That seems like an awfully long time.
It was a long time, but it was worth it. And so now I have 10 pounds of carnitas at home waiting to be eaten. It's a ton of meat.
Hold on. So that's ready to eat or you need to survey it?
It is done.
Holy
shit. It is done.
10 pounds.
I put it in there yesterday and got it out today just before small groups. And let me tell you, it is the softest pork I have ever eaten in my entire life. It is so juicy and supple.
I'd love to try it sometime.
I should have brought some.
Yes, you should
have. Had I ran home, I probably would have gotten
10 pounds. So you're like set for lunches for the next like week and a half.
Yeah. But it was already starting to be gobbled. Because after you sous vide it, then you're supposed to like fry it a little bit to give it a little bit of a seared flavor.
Smoky flavor.
And my dad was like, he tried some of it. And he's like, you don't need to fry this stuff. And he just like scooped some into a plate and took off.
That's awesome, so, though.
Yeah, I was pretty pleased.
All right, that's it for today's podcast.
My goodness, how long was that podcast?
I can't tell for sure because I was recording earlier.
Oh. Okay.
But it was long.
we had so much content.
What did we learn on today's podcast? I learned that even if a chain isn't hooked up to your mini dumpster, you should just go get a chain. You know, take a few extra steps, take a little bit extra time, and save yourself the headache.
Save yourself dumpsterception.
Dumpsterception. I am going to say that I learned that dumpsterception is a real term in some cases.
I learned that I'm Batman. Is not a subtle movie reference.
I thought you were just going to leave it at, I'm Batman.
Oh, well, we could like cut it off. Right. I'm Batman.
Thank you guys for listening. Check back next week. If you enjoy this, tell a friend about it. And if you have a question or a comment, or maybe you have a story to share.
Or a criticism.
Or maybe someone that you'd like to hear on the podcast, then send us a message over on Facebook or send us an email, mail@frenchpresspodcast.com.
Congratulations to Kim Troyer.
Yes.
For winning the Your Voice Counts But It Doesn't Matter t-shirt.
Your vote.
Yeah, your voice
counts.
Oh, and by the way, guys, use that Amazon link.
Yeah, smash it.
I'm sure you know somebody who has a birthday coming up. There's Father's Day coming up.
Father's Day.
Great opportunities, guys.